Blog Talk Radio.
Grateful because God is good and his mercy endures forever and all times. As we get ready to go through our word this morning, all I can say is the battle is not yours. It is the Lord's. God is guidance. God is fighting for us in the spiritual realm. The Father's army is there for us. You know, I personally like to believe that when God takes special loved ones early, that is because he needs them for the army to fight for us. I am grateful that God loves us enough to cover us, to want us to be taken care of, to be his sons and daughters. The battle is not ours, it's God's. You know, there is nothing that God can't do. Nothing that God can't do. And when we think of it in that way, that there is nothing that our God can't do, we realize how blessed and favored we are, because our daddy God's got it under control. He's got it under control. He's got it under control for you. He's got it under control for me. He's got it under control for us. For we are blessed to be sons and daughters of God. So this morning, as we go forth, let us just lift up the name of Jesus. Father God, we thank you for your son. We thank you for your grace and your mercy, for your goodness toward us, Lord God. We just thank you for being a God in the midst of everything. For Lord God, as we go through our situations, as we go through trials, as we go through some tribulations in our lives, Lord, we know that the battle is not ours. It is yours. So, Lord, I thank you for covering us. I thank you for watching out for us. I thank you for being in the midst and loving us more than so many times we even love ourselves. Lord God, I ask your grace and your mercy toward each and every one of us, those that listen live and those that listen later. For, Lord, you know what is going on and you know what is coming. Lord, we ask you to give us preparation, to be ready for when the time comes when we got to stand up and say, for God I live and for God I die. For there is only one God, and it is you, Abba, Father. It is you, Elohim. It is you, Yah. It is you, Jehovah. It is you, Jehovah. You may have many names, but there's only one, and that is you. For you are great and greatly to be praised. Father God, I thank you today for waking me up, clothed in my right mind, ready to go to work for you. to read your word, to study your word, to show that your word was true then and it is now. For Lord, we know that we are under attack by the wiles of the enemy, who does not want people to do better. They want to keep them stuck in the mire and the mush and the mix of mess, hating each other, despising each other, thinking that one is getting more than the other, keeping us divided on race and religion and everything you can name. Lord, we know that you are not a God of hate and divisiveness. You are a God of love. And Father, we ask you to spread love in this world, that when we love each other, we'll do better. For the first and greatest commandment is to love you with every part of our being, our heart, our mind, our soul, and the strength that's in our body, the breath in our body. We should love you. But then, Lord, you give us an edit to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Father God, for those that hate themselves, they hate their neighbors. We're asking you to show them how to love themselves so they can love others as you love us. Lord God, we pray for those that are traveling, that those are who are on the highways and the byways today, to watch over them, Lord. Give them patience. Give them vigilance. Put angels of protection around them. And Lord, I pray for those that are in hospital beds, that if it is not their time to go, then Lord, let them go out healthy and better than they were when they went in. And Lord, as you watch and bless those that are in need of food and shelter, Lord, I pray that more doors will open, that no one will be homeless or feel helpless. In the name of Christ Jesus, I lift up this planet I live on, this beautiful planet that you gave us. I lift it up and ask you, Lord God, to cover us from the crowns of our heads, with the soles of our feet, with your loving kindness, with your grace and your mercy, with the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, who took our sins to the cross. We ask you, oh God, to cover us, to guide us and lead us in the direction that you want us to go. And Lord, I pray that you give us a discernment to know your voice over the voice of the enemy, who has taken us down so many wrong roads because we thought we heard from you. So Lord, give us discernment to know your voice over the voice of the evil one who wants to perpetrate issue. But Lord, give us the discerning spirit to know that we have to say, you are not God and you need to go back where you come from. You are not my dad. You are a perpetrator. And let him know we know who he is, so that that sneaky lowdown snake does not take us into perdition and destruction. But Lord, we know that you are in charge, and the battle is not ours, but yours. Thank you, Father God, again for this day you have made. We rejoice and are glad in it. Grateful, thankful, and truly blessed. And it's in the name of Christ Jesus I lift up all listeners, again, live and later, that you keep them covered, that you watch over them, always, in Jesus' name. Amen. Giving honor to the Most High God, who is the source of my strength. You know, over the course of this weekend, my central air went out on one part of my house. I have two different furnaces in my home, and one is fine, one is not. But you know how God will bless you with what you need. You know, each of us in our rooms have fans, ceiling fans. And so we've been using fans over the course of this weekend. And all I can say is, God will humble you. He will humble you. You know, sometimes we forget that we have resources. Instead, we want to, you know, I'm going to crank up the air. I'm going to do this not understanding you have a fan. Sometimes you don't need all that air all over your house and blowing all over you. Because sometimes you don't know why you're sick, but sometimes you're sick because you got air coming in from all over, outside, and everywhere, when God has provided for you already. And not only did he provide, but, you know, as we all know, we've all dealt with this very hot, hot, hot weather. And God cuts as they say, he cut the air on the outside because it's only like 70 degrees outside. And so all the rooms that were really hot over the weekend are now just perfect without the central air on. So, you know, I'm thanking God for his grace, and I'm thanking God for this wonderful, nice, cool, beautiful morning. Even though it rains, the latter rain cleanses the earth. But I just thought it was really, really nice of God to give us a nice, perfect morning. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus and grateful that I'm not sweating, I'm not hot. It's just perfect. So thank you, God. Again, even though it may seem like a little thing, it can be a big thing when you don't have. So I tell God, thank you for everything I have, even the little things, because everything is important to God. And above all, he loves us so much. Grateful, thankful, and truly blessed to be a child of God. So give God glory and praise this morning. Just say with me, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. So let's get in our word this morning. We're in 2 Chronicles chapter 19 through chapter 20, verse 17. We are also in Psalms 82, Proverbs 82, verses 1 through 8, Proverbs chapter 20, verses 29 and 30, and Acts chapter 17, verses 1 through 15. And we do have some commentary this morning from Dr. Stanley. It's just, like I said, a great word today. My pastor preached this word probably a couple of Sundays ago. And I'm going to tell you, tore it up. She preached this word. I'm not here to preach it. I'm here just to read it, because the word preaches itself. Because when we listen, when we follow what God says, we don't go through the struggles we're going through, because he's fighting our battles. And I tell you, don't give up on God, because he's not going to give up on you. Hallelujah. And as a song says, he is able. God is able to do what he said he will do. He is going to fight our battles for us. He's going to love on us. He's going to cherish us because we belong to him. And when you know who your daddy is, you don't worry about anybody out there, because you know my daddy's tougher than anybody that's out there. My daddy can fight for me. My daddy covers me. My daddy gives me kisses, and my daddy loves me. We got to know that our dads love us. And I tell you, there's only one dad in my life, and he is the Heavenly Father. And I am grateful that he wraps me in his arms and loves me. And the word of God comes in 2 Chronicles chapter 19. Then Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned safely to his house. Because remember, he got caught up with Ahab and could easily been killed. But God, you know, and told him, you know, you put on your kingly robes, and they was chasing Jehoshaphat. You know, they was after him because they were getting ready to kill him because they thought he was the king of Israel. So the Syrians were after Jehoshaphat. And, I mean, I'm just giving you kind of an overview of chapter 18, they were after him. And then it says, and then in verse 31 it says, so it was when the captain of the chariot saw Jehoshaphat that they said, it is the king of Israel. Therefore they surrounded him to attack. But Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him, and God diverted them from him. For so it was, when the captains of the chariot saw that it was not the king of Israel, that they turned back from pursuing him. Now a certain man drew a bow at random and struck the king of Israel between the joints of his armor. So he said to the driver of his chariot, turn around and take me out of the battle, for I am wounded. And the battle increased that day, and the king of Israel propped himself up in his chariot, facing the Syrians until evening, and about the time of sunset, he died. But, you know, Jehoshaphat trying to help his brother Israel, Judah helping Israel, almost got killed. But again, the battle was not his. It was God, because it was Ahab's time. It was his time. And as the prophet told him, you're not going to win. But oh, I hate him because he always prophesies against me. Everybody's not going to give you a great prophecy. If God's got something to say to you, he's going to say it through a prophet. And sometimes it is not nice. Sometimes God is telling you, get your act together. Don't get mad at the prophet. Just do what you know you're supposed to do. Ahab knew he was wicked and evil, just as wicked and evil as his wife Jezebel. And that's why they died the way they did, because they killed the prophets of God. But let's keep moving, because like I said, a great word. Then he goes on to say that he returned safely to Jerusalem, to his house in Jerusalem. And Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord? Therefore, the wrath of the Lord is upon you. Nevertheless, good things are found in you, in that you have removed the wooden images from the land and have prepared your heart to seek God. So Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem. Then he went out again among the people from Beersheba to the mountains of Ephraim and brought them back to the Lord God of their fathers. Then he set judges in the land throughout 45 cities of Judah, city by city, and said to the judges, take heed to what you are doing, for you do not judge for man, but for the Lord, who is with you in the judgment. Now, therefore, let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take care and do it, for there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, no partiality, nor taking of bribes. Moreover, in Jerusalem, for the judgment of the Lord and for controversies, Jehoshaphat appointed some of the Levites and priests and some of the chief fathers of Israel when they returned to Jerusalem. And he commanded them, saying, thus you shall act in the fear of the Lord faithfully and with a loyal heart. Whatever case comes to you from your brethren who dwell in their cities, whether of bloodshed or offenses against law or commandment, against statute or ordinance, you shall warn them, lest they trespass against the Lord and wrath come upon you and your brethren. Do this, and you will not be guilty. And take notice, Amariah, the chief priest, is over you in all manners of the Lord. And Zebediah, the son of Ishmael, the ruler of the house of Judah, for all the king's manners. Also, the Levites will be officials before you. Behave courageously, and the Lord will be with the good. God is with us. Chapter 20. Now, this is where our word is coming from. 20, verse 15. But I tell you this, whenever we go in, we got to go in understanding that God is in charge. so many times we want to try to take over for God and do what God is doing. God has got his stuff covered. He doesn't need our help. We need his help. And when we know we need his help, everything else falls into place. And the word of God says, and it happened after this, that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them besides the Ammonites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, say, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazion Tamar, which is El Gadi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord and from all the cities of Judah. They came to seek the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of Abraham, your friend forever? And they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And now here are the people of the Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt. But they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. Oh, our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Now all Judah, with their little ones, their wives, and their children, stood before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, listen, all you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, you King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up by the accent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jerel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And I say this morning, whatever you're going through, don't worry. Just pray. For the battle is not yours. It is the Lord's. And that's not just for you. That's for me. That's for all of us. The battle is not ours. It is the Lord's. God has got it all under control. All we have to do is be still and know he is God. And again, I'm talking to me as I am talking to you. Bridget, be still and know that there is God and that he is God and that your daddy has got you covered. And you got to say to yourself, whatever your name is, be still and know my dad God. He's got it. The battle is not mine. It is my Father's. The battle is not mine. It is God's. The battle is not mine. It is the Lord's. The battle is not mine. It's in the hand of the Father. He's got me covered. I am covered in the cliff of the rock under his beautiful, wonderful wings. Because he loves me like that. We got to have that in our hearts. I got filled up because when you think about the goodness of the Lord, all that he's done for you, your soul should be screaming out loud, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for salvation. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. God sometimes has to save us from our own selves because we can be out of control. But it takes our Father to get us back on track. Hallelujah. The battle is not yours. It is the Lord's. God's got you covered. Quit fighting and trying to take it yourself. Let God handle it. You know, I have a cup. And I use it every time I get opportunity. And all it says is, this is God, and I will be handling your problems today. And I can tell you this, he has always handled my problems. I have a tendency sometimes to go back and pick them up, and God smacks my hands and says, didn't I say I got this? And he's going to smack your hands too when you go trying to pick back up what you've given to God. Let it go. Give it to God and leave it alone. For the battle is not yours. It is God's. And that's the word for this morning in our life lesson. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 15. The battle is not yours, but God's. And I just want you to repeat after me. The battle is not mine, but God's. The battle is not mine, but God's. The battle is not mine, but God's. That was one for the Lord, one for the Son, and one for the Holy Spirit. God's got you covered, family. You got to quit sticking your hands back in, trying to take it back. When you give it to God and leave it alone. He's got it. The battle is not yours, but God's. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. We're fighting against spirits that we don't know anything about. We're fighting against demonic. We're fighting against fallen angels. We're fighting against so many things in the spiritual realm that we have no clue. That's why the battle is God's. Leave it where it is. What did he say? And he said, listen, all of you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God. We can't be dismayed. We can't be afraid because of all the things we're going through. Just know, the battle is not yours, but God's. And this is what Dr. Stanley says. We don't have to worry about how to engage our conflicts because they all belong to God. And being his, they are already won. Brother, our responsibility is to obey whatever he instructs us to do. Always remember that every blessing and success comes from God. When you do that, it is easier to trust him to win your battles. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for fighting for me. And our psalm this morning, Psalm 82, verse 1 through 8. And it's a psalm of Asaph. And it said, God stands in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods. How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Selah. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Free them from the hand of the wicked. They do not know, nor do they understand. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are unstable. I said, you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. And that God was little g's. But you shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for you shall inherit all nations. And our proverb for today is Proverbs chapter 20, verse 29 and 30. The glory of young men is their strength, and the splendor of old men is their gray head. And I can say that for us old women too, with our gray hair. You know, God is in charge. And if you have gray hair, that's a whole lot of wisdom that he has given you. Blows that hurt cleanse away evil. Blows that hurt cleanse away evil, as do stripes, the inner depth of the heart. God is going to take it away. Whatever your situation is, give it to God. Whatever is attacked, give it to God. Again, you're not fighting a battle with humans. You're fighting a spiritual battle. Whatever it is spiritual. Our battles are not human battles. Our battles are spiritual battles. Battles against right and wrong, love and hate, justice and injustice. We got to ask God for healing. Healing of every part of our mind, body, and spirit. For we belong to Father God. And he belongs to us. And understand love will always conquer hate. Right will always conquer wrong. Good will always conquer bad. Just keep trusting God. We're going to come back to the life principles from our Second Chronicles word. We're going to go ahead and do our Acts word, and then we'll come back to Second Chronicles life principles, because it's a list that you'll need to get some pens, a pencil and paper to be able to write down this information. So we're going to go ahead to Acts chapter 17, verses 1 through 15, why you get something to write on. Because these words are going to help you today. Let's keep going. So in Acts chapter 17, it says, now when they had passed through Amphipolis, the Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Then Paul, as his custom was, went in to them and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, saying, this Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ. And some of them were persuaded, and a great multitude of the devout Greeks and not a few of the leading women joined Paul and Silas. But the Jews who were not persuaded became envious, took some of the evil men from the marketplace, and gathering a mob, set all the city in an uproar and attacked the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, these who have turned the world upside down have come here too. Jason has harbored them, and these are all acting contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying there is another king, Jesus. And they troubled the crowd and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. So when they had taken security from Jason and the rest, they let them go. Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the synagogues of the Jews. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men. But when the Jews from Thessalonica learned that the word of God was preached by Paul in Berea, they came there also and stirred up the crowd. Then immediately the brethren sent Paul away to go to the sea, but both Silas and Timothy remained there. So those who conducted Paul brought him to Athens, and receiving a command for Silas and Timothy to come to him with all speed, they departed. You know, whatever you do for God, Jesus, there are those that just won't believe. But I tell you this, there is a Son of God, and his name was Jesus Christ. And he was the Messiah, and he did die for my sins. And by his rising, I have salvation. By his grace, I have mercy. And I don't care what anybody says. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe he is my Savior. I believe he died for me. You don't have to believe if you don't want to. But when he comes back again, it'll be too late. Now is a good day to be saved. Today is a good day to be saved. Today is a good day to believe. Whether you're Jew or Greek, it doesn't matter. Salvation is free. Where else can you get something that will last forever into eternity? That's free. Salvation is free. And all you have to do is believe. And understand that even to this day, there are those of the Jewish faith that don't believe that God answered their prayers, that don't believe that Jesus is the Messiah. They're still waiting when he's already come. And so we pray that God will give insight to those that don't believe, that God will lead those that don't believe to salvation through Jesus Christ, our Savior. We pray for our brothers and sisters. We don't vilify. We don't tear down. We don't talk about. We lift up. And we pray for them. But we don't walk in fear. For the battle is not ours. It is God. It's not yours. It's not mine. It's God. And as we continue in this word, it says this in our life lesson for Psalms 82 and 6. I said, you are God's little g's, and all of you are children of the Most High. Jesus quoted this verse and highlighted the staggering privilege of receiving the word of God. And we're going to go really quick over to John chapter 10, verse 34. And as y'all know, always we may read a little before because we want to always make sure that what we are reading is, because sometimes you can take a scripture and be totally out of context with what the scripture is saying. So we try to stay within context. I'm not perfect, but I do try. And we're going to John chapter 10. Verse 34, and this is all Jesus speaking. But we're going to go back up to verse 31, and it says, then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, may many good works I have shown you from my Father, for which those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself God. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said, you are God's? And that's what we just read in our Psalms 2 and 6. If he called them gods, to whom the word of God came and the scriptures cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into this world, you are blaspheming because I said I am the Son of God? If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works that you may know, and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore they sought again to seize him, but he escaped out of their hands. Now, you're supposed to say you believe in the word. But if the word says you are God's and all of you are children of the Most High, then that's what we are. We're little G's. We're not our father. We are just his children. And so Jesus said, is it not written in your law? I said, you are God's. And he called them gods to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken. We are. Don't allow anybody to take the word of God from you. Hallelujah. We are children of the Most High. Acts 17 and 11. They received the word of all with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. The Bereans didn't take Paul's word for it about how the Old Testament scripture prophesied the ministry, sufferings, and resurrection of Christ. They looked for themselves, and God commended them for their diligence. And that is what we are doing. We are looking for ourselves. We're not just sitting in the pew on Sunday, hearing a couple of scriptures and hearing a word from those couple of scriptures. We are reading and searching the word ourselves. Just as Jesus said, didn't it say in the word? Pretty much paraphrasing. You are God and all of you are children of the Most High. So if we are those little G's, and I'm not talking the spiritual ones, I'm not talking the demonics who try to perpetrate being gods. We're not talking wooden idols. Are things made by hand? We were not made by hand. We were made by the Most High God. So we are his children, children of the Most High, because that's who made us, this world, on our own. We came by the hand of God. Each of us was special for God. That's why we're here, to speak for him, or to let him speak through us is more the case. Let God speak through you. But you are his children, and you should speak and talk like your dad, bringing love and kindness and goodness and mercy, because vengeance is his. We gotta let stuff go, because it eats us alive. When you allow the enemy to dig into your spirit, he eats you alive. Don't let him eat you alive. Shake it off and give it to God and say, Lord, for you I live, for you I die. Great be the name of the Lord God. Don't let that little G, that perpetrator, take you down the wrong path. And let's read our word this morning. And this is some life principles from 2 Chronicles. And it says this in 2 Chronicles 20 and 12. God always wants the best for us. And he is committed to showing us how to follow the specific plan he has designed for each of our lives. He wants us to listen to his voice, to hear what he wants us to do and how he wants us to do it. And we're going to go over real quick to Isaiah chapter 30. Again, Old Testament prophetic word, Isaiah chapter 30. And we're going to look at verses 19 through 21. And again, as always, we may go back a little bit, get it in context. But this is what it says. For the people shall dwell in Zion in Jerusalem. You shall weep no more. We will be very gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you. And though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teachers will not be moved into a corner anymore, but your eyes shall see your teachers. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left. Again, this is the way, walk in it. We got to walk in God's way. We got to listen to the voice of God. And when God says, go right, go right. And when God says, go left, go left. But learn to discern the voice of God versus the voice of the sneaky, low-down, dirty snake that we call the devil. Because he tries to imitate. But we have to learn to get it, to know it, that that is not my daddy. Because my daddy don't tell me to do stuff that's wrong. We got to learn to stand up and speak out. Uh-uh, you are not God. I know my daddy's voice. And then let's go keep going. Number one, and this is the first one. He has a variety of ways to help us to take notice among them. But I'm going to go back and say, but when we begin to wonder from the course God has set for us, he will take all kinds of measures to capture our attention and protect us from harm. He has a variety of ways to help us to take notice among them. The first, a restless spirit. Sometimes God gets our attention by making us restless. If you experience a restless, deep identified, then stop and pray, Lord, are you trying to say something to me? Each time God was about to move me from one pastoral to another, I became very restless. And that was Dr. Stanley speaking. So if you have a restless spirit, God is trying to speak to you. Number two, a spoken word. God also gets our attention by using the words of others. God gave a message both to young Samuel and to the old priest Eli through this method, 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 4 through 18. If several people in a short span of time begin telling you the same thing, then ask the Lord if he is trying to speak to you through them. If somebody tells you something more than once, and it's a confirmation of something you know you've heard, you might want to take notice. Number three, an unusual blessing. God may bless us in an unusual way to gain our attention. Of course, if you are an overly self-sufficient person, the Lord may not likely use some other method to get your focus on him. But remember that no matter which method he uses, it expresses his love. So the first one is you may have a restless spirit. The second is you may hear a word more than once. The third is an unusual blessing, something you least expect but very much need. Number four, unanswered prayer. Sometimes God will answer a prayer with no. Despite David's prayers for God to save his infant son's life, the child born through the king's adultery, the boy died. 2 Samuel verses 12 through 15, 18, if you want to read it again. The Lord may close the doors of heaven and refuse to answer our prayers as a way of forcing us to examine ourselves. Ooh, and that's a hard one. That is so hard when you have unanswered praying and praying and praying and praying, and God doesn't answer your prayers. Because his answer is no. And that hurts. When our parents tell us no, as little kids, you know, you go to mom and mom's like no, but then you think you can ease over and talk to dad, and dad says no, you're devastated. Unanswered prayer. And number five, disappointment. When the nation of Israel refused God's instruction to take possession of the promised land, God judged the people for their unbelief. They quick changed their mind and said they now desired to enter the land, but the Lord said no, it was too late. Numbers chapter 14. God got their attention through a tremendous sense of disappointment. In a similar way, God may allow setbacks to keep us up, keep us from charting our own course. Wow. And that's hard, too. Unanswered prayers and disappointments. Because we're like, but Lord, I do these things, I do all these things, but it may be for a purpose and a reason to get your attention. Number 6, extraordinary circumstances. Sometimes God will use unusual circumstances to get us to stop listening. Moses saw of to stop and listen, excuse me. Moses saw a flaming bush that didn't burn up. As he approached to investigate, the Lord spoke to him from the fire. Exodus chapter 3, you and I must learn to look for the presence of God in every circumstance of life. He leaves his footprints and handiwork all around us. Number 7, defeat. God may use defeat to show us the truth. Following the Lord's stunning victory over Jericho, the Israelites approached a small town with overconfidence and neglected to fight in God's strength or with his guidance. Joshua chapter 7, and y'all know what happened. God got Joshua's attention by letting him fail miserably. But even a terrible defeat may prove to be the greatest stepping stone to success. When we ask, Lord, what are you saying? Financial troubles. We all have gone through an Adam. And it says this, in the time of the judges, when everyone did what was right in his own eyes, Judges 17:6, the nation fell into idolatry and disobedience. God brought judgment through the Midianites. The land. Only when he took away every material belonging did they cry out to him, Judges 6:6. God knows exactly what it would take to get their attention. When they did return to him, he delivered them from their oppressors and blessed them. Whew. Like I said, when it's right, it's tight. This is not one of those touchy-feely things. This is a get your attention kind of word right here. God is trying to get our attention. Not just your attention, but our attention. He's getting my attention too. Tragedy, sickness, and affliction we all have gone through. We should regard our tragedies and afflictions as reason to inquire of the Lord. What are you trying to say? When King Hezekiah became prideful, God used illness to alert him to the problem. 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 24. Similar, when Saul of Tarsus persecuted Christians, God struck him with blindness. I got his attention. God always knows exactly where you are in your journey of faith and precisely what it will take to get your attention. So stay alert. Notice if any of these divine methods are occurring or reoccurring in your life. If they are, ask him what he wants to tell you, and then listen, not simply to hear, but to obey. And I'm going to give you these words one more time. A restless spirit, a spoken word, an unusual blessing, unanswered prayer, disappointment, extraordinary circumstances, defeat. Financial troubles, tragedy, sickness, and affliction. And again, as Dr. Stanley says, God always knows exactly where you are in your journey of faith and precisely what it will take to stay alert. Notice if any of these divine methods are occurring or reoccurring in your life. If they are, ask him what he wants to tell you, and then listen, not simply to hear, but to obey. And that is our word for this morning. And before we get out, as always, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And our word from our sister in Christ this morning is simply this. Whew. All right, up there in the word, good morning. Courage comes from trusting God. The battle is not yours or mine, but God's. It can't be drummed up. It comes from believing what God says, regardless of circumstances. Have a motivated Monday. And as we know in our word today, Jehoshaphat had to have courage to just stand back and know that God is God and that the battle was not his, but the Lord's, but God's. In this word today, Paul and Silas and Timothy had to understand that even though they were preaching their heart out, they were teaching their heart out, that there were going to be unbelievers who were going to try to create problems. But again, the battle was not theirs, but God's. So I say again, and Sister Carolyn has so graciously given us, and I know it came from God. Courage comes from trusting God. It can't be drummed up. It comes from believing what God says, regardless of circumstances. Have a motivated Monday, family, as you start out this week, this work week, Monday through Friday. Keep God first in whatever you do, and know that the battle is not yours, God's. Have a blessed day, family. If there's anyone that has something to say, now is the time to push the number 1 on your phone. And if not, we will be wrapping it up. And the title again, the battle is not yours or mine, but God's. So whatever you're going through, give it to God, for the battle is not yours, but his. And we do have a caller.
Good morning, good morning.
Good morning, Pastor Evangelist. How are you this morning?
I'm just truly blessed and highly favored on this day, today, that the Lord has made. And truly, we shall rejoice and be glad in it. I was just saying on today, as you say, the battle is not ours. It is the Lord. Exalt thee. Exalt the Lord through all that you may be going through. Just exalt the Lord on today. I like that song that we sang, Exalt Thee, yes. Just exalt thee on today. No matter how rough the road may be, no matter how the situation may look, just continue to exalt thee, because it may seem like God is not working, but he's working. It may look like he's not working, but he's working. So just exalt thee through whatever you're going through. Just exalt thee. Exalt the Lord on today. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Giving God honor, glory, and praise as we exalt the Lord today. Just remember, the battle is not yours, but God's. Thanking God today for this mighty, awesome word that he has given us. Let us take it to heart, into our mind, and into our spirit. And as we depart from each other, may the Lord watch between me and thee, while we are absent one from each other in the precious and holy name of our matchless Savior, Christ Jesus. I thank him for each of you, and I lift you up as we all exalt the Lord today. Thank you, Evangelist. Thank you, everyone, for listening in. Those are listening live and those are listening later. I thank God for you, and I ask his grace and his mercy to shine upon you today and always. For God is good and greatly to be praised. We praise you and exalt you today, O Lord. For there is none like you, Father God. And we thank you for bringing us through this word, for teaching us as we go forth and move forward in the word of God. Thank you so much, family. As we say, Evangelist, what is it? It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap. Have a blessed day, family. It's, again, one more time, Evangelist. It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.